Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, on our last episode, we talked about the peak performances from the Packers postseason run. We'll continue our review of Green Bay's playoffs with kind of the bird's eye view, so to speak. And starting with the wild card game against the Giants, the Packers coming into the playoffs on a six-game winning streak. They win the NFC North in Detroit in Week 17 in a primetime game. And what turned out to be the first of three rematches from regular season meetings in the playoffs, with the Giants coming to Lambeau Field. And it didn't start out all that well for Green Bay, but it turned into a big victory.
It did, Mike. And this was a big one in a number of fronts. I mean, from the Packers' perspective, this was an entirely new slate, an entirely new season, and an entirely new New York Giants team.
Yeah.
But for a lot of Packer fans, there was a little bit of bitter aftertaste after what happened in 2011 and also 2007. They were able to wipe the slate clean here. They were able to finally get that victory over the Giants and Eli Manning that they'd been seeking in the playoffs. And I think the biggest thing was, Mike, is this began a stretch of the Packers actually facing teams for the second time. Every team that they faced that was in the playoffs for the NFC, they actually had faced throughout the course of the season.
Right.
The Giants, they actually did get the victory on them, which was different than Dallas and Atlanta, but it was important to be able to do it again. It was a rough start. It wasn't what they were looking for in the first quarter. But seeing how they rallied, particularly after they lost Jordy Nelson in this one, was probably the most uplifting part of the victory.
Yeah, I thought this game really epitomized how far the Packers had come throughout the course of the season. And what I mean by that is, offensively, the Packers started with five consecutive punts in this game. There were stretches in the regular season, really all the way through September, even through November. If the Packers would have started a game with five consecutive punts, they wouldn't have recovered.
Right.
The team really hadn't come together enough. They weren't tough enough. They weren't able to overcome those extended lulls in a ball game to still pull out the victory. This one they did, and not only did they snap out of it, they overcame it in very impressive fashion. They ended up scoring 38 points in the last 34 minutes of the game after the slow start against a pretty darn good defense. People were talking about whether this Giants defense was as good as the ones that Eli Manning had in his two Super Bowl runs previously. The fact that the Giants were a wild card team and starting on the road, there were some people who thought they might be headed to the Super Bowl. And the Packers offense just exploded late in the game, or late in the second quarter, I should say, then for the rest of the game, helped by the Hail Mary at the end of the first half, which is a pretty memorable moment.
Yeah, and it was incredible. I mean, third time in 13 months. I don't know how many Hail Marys you covered before that, but the fact the Packers were able to get that was big, because they did it. They had gotten in the end zone. They finally were able to get some points on the board, but that was really the one where it's like, okay, now you got a chance to double up. Now you got a chance to really, you know, put your foot on the pedal. And they did that, and I think it was very poetic that Randall Cobb, arguably, probably one of the smallest guys on the field, just sneaks behind that little scrum, does a little bit of a push off, but gets separation.
Yeah.
Pulls that ball in and catches it for the touchdown. The thing that was so emotional about it, was just so incredible about it, is being in the press box. A lot of the same beat core that covered the Giannis play, that covered the Richard Rodgers touchdown against Detroit, was there as well. And there really was this kind of, you got to be kidding me, kind of, they did it again.
Yeah.
thing to it. And it was interesting as well, talking to Jordy. I asked Jordy Nelson about this about a week later after he broke his ribs. You know, he was actually in the trainer's room at the time, but was able to watch it. Didn't really get a chance to celebrate, but it was at that point that you kind of had a feeling that this thing was going to work out okay.
Yeah, it's funny when you look at these replays, and I'm talking specifically about the Hail Mary in Detroit and then the one against the Giants, where Rodgers throws these high arcing passes. And you can see in both instances how a lot of the players, particularly the defenders on the field, misjudged the ball. In Detroit, everybody was too far back.
Yeah,
and Richard Rodgers was able to kind of get in front of everybody and box everybody out and make the catch. Then you fast forward to the Giants one. Everybody misjudged it. They were too far forward. The ball is probably going to land either just inside the end zone or possibly even on the end line out of bounds. He throws it all the way to the back of the end zone. And Randall Cobb is the only one who goes back there far enough to make the play. It just makes me realize that as easy as maybe it looks when we're watching from the press box, those throws are not easy to judge.
Right. And the other thing, too, to throw in the Janis play, that wasn't against, you know, Joe Smith from, you know, some community college in Iowa. That was Patrick Peterson that was defending on that play, and Rodgers still put it in a position that really, if you go back and look at it, that was the only place that Janis was going to be able to catch it. That's the only place anyone was going to be able to come down with it, and he still put it right on a dime. For my money, and I know there's a lot of football that was played before I entered this earth in 1987, but Rodgers has to be the greatest Hail Mary passer of all time. He just has to be.
There's
just,
no question.
Not just the production, but just his ability to do it. I talked about it on this program before, too. You look at the Matt Ryan play when in the NFC title game where he kind of had one, and it was short of the end zone. I mean, that's one of the top passers in the league not able to get it all the way. That's just something that Aaron Rodgers does, and he does it exceptionally well.
Yeah, with regards to the Packers' defense, it would be remiss in this Giants game if we didn't mention holding the Giants to a couple of field goals early when the offense was struggling. It was only 6-0, so as badly as everything was going at the start, the Packers were still very much in the game. Julius Peppers gets a big sack, a nice punt return. The special teams did a good job field position-wise in this game, kind of helped to spark the offense. So a really nice all-around effort, all three phases here as it came together in the wild card game.
Yeah, definitely well-rounded for sure.
All right, with that, Wes, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Wes Hodkowitz over there, Mike Spofford right here. And Wes, as we continue our review of the Packers postseason run, the wild card victory against the Giants sends Green Bay to Dallas. The Cowboys, the number one seed in the NFC, a 13-3 regular season record. Actually 13-2 because they kind of mailed it in week 17 when they didn't need to win. And but the number one overall seed, a team a lot of people were predicting would be representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. And kind of a reversal of situations from the Giants playoff game in that the Packers started out hot. I mean, a house of fire here, scoring, jumping out to a 21-3 lead, and then it was hold on to your hats and see if you can pull this thing out.
Yeah, if you talk about the entire season, I know you look at Detroit, that was an important game to get off to a fast start, and it's always every week it's an emphasis, but I would argue, you know, probably outside of the last two games of the season, in the NFC title game and Super Bowl, this was the setting in which you needed that the most. Because you have a fan base in Dallas that feels invincible. I mean, you saw all the stuff beforehand. They had every actor A, B, C, D list that was available talking about, yeah, this is our time. Finish the fight.
Finish the fight. Hashtag finish the fight. Yeah, that was their slogan.
The Packers needed to counteract that. There's 93,000 people in that stadium that are ready for the Cowboys to make a run to the Super Bowl. And for them to come out and play the way they did early on, and I want to give a – we didn't get a chance to talk about it much during our peak performances, but Ty Montgomery, the guy that grew up idolizing Emmitt Smith, working the concession stands at Texas Stadium, always wanting to score a touchdown in his hometown, got two of them.
Yeah.
And really important ones at the beginning of the contest that got this offense going. You know, he only had 47 rushing yards on the day, but when you're going up against Dallas' defense and Rod Marinelli and what they schemed for – being able to finish those drives, move the ball is one thing. It's great. 70 yards, 90 yards, 80 yards, what have you. But being able to finish those drives and put up 21 points on those first three series was really important.
Yeah, and it was classic Aaron Rodgers work early on. He catches the Cowboys with 12 men on the field, gets a free 5 yards there. Then the first touchdown pass to Richard Rodgers is on a free play when the Cowboys jump offside. So Aaron takes the shot at the deepest receiver, and Richard Rodgers puts a nice move on Sean Lee and a perfect pass right over the linebacker's shoulder there, and the Packers get on the board. The defense holding the Cowboys to a field goal on their opening drive, which also allowed the Packers to build the lead. And then coming out at the start of the second half, the Cowboys rallied late in the first half, got back within, I believe it was 21-13, if I recall. Correct. Packers get the ball to start the second half and go right down the field and score a touchdown. Jared Cook catches a 26-yard pass, and then the very next play, a 3-yard touchdown. The Packers are back up by 2 scores again, and really just everything up through that point had gone about as well as you could have hoped for Green Bay.
Yeah, one of the underrated things about this, and give Jared Cook a lot of credit, he ended up making the biggest catch of the game, if not the entire season. But being able to also get that play from Richard Rodgers early on against what I consider to be one of the top linebackers in this league,
yeah,
who probably doesn't get enough credit, based mostly, I think, on his injury history in Sean Lee. They got the production they needed out of their tight ends when they didn't have Jordy Nelson available. Because defenses, they were going to be scheming for Randall Cobb. They were going to be keeping an eye open for Davante Adams. Everybody knew going into this game that Jordy Nelson wasn't playing. He was out. So it was going to be up to Cook. It was going to be up to Rodgers. It was going to be up to Aaron Rodgers for making everything work. In both of those guys, Rodgers early on and then Cook in the second half came up big with production the Packers really needed from that tight end position.
Yeah, with the Packers leading 28-13 in the third quarter, the Cowboys drive down. They get into the red zone, have second and short. Micah Hyde jumps the wide receiver screen with the interception, takes points off the board. Packers have a chance to put the game away there, and Aaron Rodgers makes his first mistake in, 2 months maybe?
Yeah.
Ball down to Davante Adams down the right sideline. He throws it a little bit too far inside, just far enough inside for Jeff Heath, the safety for the Cowboys, to be able to make the interception. And that sort of sparks Dallas. Then they come back. Dak Prescott gets things going. Ezekiel Elliott gets going. The Cowboys eventually tie the game in the fourth quarter at 28-28. And then it becomes the field goal battle down the stretch with and the Packers lose Davante Adams to ankle injury.
Yep.
We already talked about Jordy Nelson being out of the game. Aaron Rodgers is making it work with what he's got out there, and Mason Crosby comes through with 2 huge kicks.
Yeah, and the first one, I mean, that 56-yarder was just so critical because, I mean, it's going to – if he misses that, Dallas had, I believe they had 2 timeouts left, at least one.
Yeah.
In 1:33 remaining, the way that Dak Prescott was moving the football, if they just needed to get 20 – 25 yards to put them in field goal position.
Right, they would have, yeah, with the ball, if you miss a 56-yarder, they get the ball in the 46, the
right
spot of the kick. You're right, I mean, 20 yards is all they need for Dan Bailey to take a shot.
And one thing I'm always going to remember about this, we talked about it in the episode right after the game, but the fact that we really couldn't see the uprights very well with where
right
we were, he was kicking towards that end zone, but we were kind of in the corner. The only way you really could tell whether or not the kick was good was based on the reaction of the crowd.
Right.
And twice, with the way that Mason kicked it, it kind of started outside and moved its way inside. It kind of confused them a little bit. I think it confused the Cowboys announcer as well. But when that crowd went silent, I think you and I both knew that, wow, that he did this. I mean,
yeah,
he came through.
Yeah, he made it. Those were two big-time kicks, and we talked plenty, obviously, about the pass to Jared Cook down the sideline. I'm still amazed. When I look at the replay of that, what I'm amazed at is that Cook conducted his footwork the way he did without ever looking down. He kept
yeah
his eye on the ball, his concentration on the ball the whole time, yet he still stopped his feet and his toes in exactly the right spot.
And after he jokingly said during practice the previous week, didn't do that. He did get his feet out of bounds and wasn't able to bring it in. This time he was able to make sure he finished that play.
Yeah, well, a big victory that sends the Packers to the NFC Championship game in Atlanta. And unfortunately, that didn't go well, but we'll review some of our thoughts from that game after the break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, the Packers go to Atlanta for their second NFC Championship game appearance in the last 3 years and their fourth NFC title game appearance in Mike McCarthy's tenure as head coach. And I think Mike McCarthy said it best after the game. The Packers just ran out of gas. They
yeah
are dealing with a lot of injuries. Jordy Nelson comes back to play with the broken ribs. You give him all the credit in the world. But they ran into a juggernaut, a buzzsaw, whatever you want to call it, at the Georgia Dome, the final game in the Georgia Dome. And unfortunately, the tremendous run, 8 straight victories dating back to late November, comes to an end.
I thought that was the perfect line from Mike McCarthy talking about running out of gas, because it just, you look at this game, Mike, Jordy Nelson, broken ribs, played through it. Davante Adams had a pretty badly sprained ankle, played through it. Geronimo Allison dealing with the hamstring, Morgan Burnett, the quad. LaTroy Guyon finishes the game at right guard. this really, a year of adversity, a year of injury, I think was sort of encapsulated in this performance. But what was impressive to me is they didn't stop. It wasn't the start they wanted. You don't want to be down 28-0 at half, or 24-0, excuse me, at halftime. But they kept playing, and Mike McCarthy later said this was one of the games that subtly, even though Aaron Rodgers' stats probably didn't represent it, that he was most proud of him for the performance he put on and what he did in that setting, because you really easily could have just pitched the tent and just called it a day.
Yeah.
But they fought, and it wasn't enough. But to get this far after 4-6, I think few really saw it coming, and yet they still did it.
Yeah, I think if there's one thing that you ask the what-if question when it comes to this NFC Championship game, it's the way the game started,
right,
in that the first two offensive possessions for the Packers. You know that if you're going to win this game, it's probably going to be in a shootout. You've got two great quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers and Matt Ryan, but the Packers stall out on their first drive, and then Mason Crosby's postseason streak, NFL record streak of 23 made field goals in the playoffs, comes to an end. He misses from 41 yards. The Packers are then down 10-0 and driving. Aaron Ripkowski busts a run up the middle. It's going to be first and goal, but the ball gets stripped out, and the Falcons recover at the goal line for a touchback. They get the ball in the 20. And when you're looking at really what very well could have been 10-10 in the early stages of the second quarter, is 10-0, soon to be 17-0 when the Falcons add another touchdown. And it just became too big of a hole to dig out of.
Yeah, what hurts the most with the Ripkowski run was that actually was the longest carry of the day for 12 yards, I believe. I mean, they had a hard time running the ball against Atlanta, but it actually finally started to show like they were finding something. And then I think it was Keanu Neal was the one that got that ball out. Really heads-up play by him to... And there was a lot of people converging on Ripkowski for it to come out.
Might have been Jalen Collins.
Jalen Collins, sorry, you're right.
Yeah.
Jalen Collins, the guy that stepped up at cornerback. So that was difficult. And after that, it just put them in a pass-first mode ever since then. But for Jordy Nelson to play through it, I thought Jerry Cook had another nice performance. Did drop two passes, but overall stepped up to lead them in catches. It just wasn't enough to get past the Falcons, who they had such a terrific season to be able to get to the point that they did.
Yeah, Julio Jones, a tough customer, 180 yards, two touchdowns. Those running backs for the Falcons, that running back tandem, Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman, doing what they really did all year for the league's number one offense. And unfortunately, the great run came to an end for Green Bay. But with that, Wes, we'll take care of some sponsor business. At home or here in the stands, we all know that Green Bay fans give it their all, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious Chunky Chicken Broccoli Cheese. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, over the last several weeks, we've reviewed the entire 2016 season. If I were to throw this out there, your lasting memory of the 2016 Packers, what would you say?
Well, it's also fitting that it's going to be something we didn't even talk about during these last 4 weeks. But to me, it's actually going to be the post-game locker room in Detroit, fresh off, quote-unquote, running the table. I don't know if I've ever been a part of anything. I wasn't here for the Super Bowl in 2010. I wasn't covering the team then. But in my time on the beat, that was as jubilant of a collection of men, I think, as I've ever covered. Just the understanding of what it had meant, what they had done. Yeah, they were in the playoffs before that game, but you know, we got that lasting photo of Aaron Rodgers from our team photographer, Evan Siegel, of him sitting in the locker room, just kind of soaking it all in of what he had just accomplished. You know, Jared Cook putting on a playoff hat for the first time in his 8 NFL seasons.
Yeah.
And then even, you know, Micah Hyde and all these other guys that had stepped up and really seeing the fruit of their labor. The locker room after the Richard Rodgers Hail Mary was pretty special. But this was one that I hadn't seen anything like it. It was pretty special.
That's neat. For me, I go to the locker room as well, but I actually go to the locker room on the Wednesday after the loss to the Washington Redskins.
Sure.
Aaron Rodgers has that session at his locker with reporters as he does every Wednesday during the regular season. And I remember coming over to you as soon as that was over, and I said, hey, Wes, the quarterback just said, I think we can run the table. And I said that to you in the sense of, we've got a news story here. Like, we have to get this up on the website because those words coming out of his mouth and essentially coming out of nowhere in the middle of a four-game losing streak, it was big news. It was going to be big news regardless of what happened the following week. But then for that to be the start of what it became, I mean, everything that Rodgers put on his shoulders, his leadership, the leadership of Mike McCarthy, they saw everything during the four-game losing streak that this was not a lost season, that this season could not only be saved, but be a season to be celebrated. And I know it didn't end the way the Packers wanted. You wanted to get past the Falcons and make it to the Super Bowl. But it did become a season to be celebrated in my mind. To go from 4-6 to the NFC Championship game, it's a run that I'm going to remember for covering this team for a long time.
Yeah, and the thing is, I don't know what Rodgers' plans are once he's done playing football in 10, 15, 25 years, whenever that is. But the thing is that I really think he should go into like brand and marketing or something. I mean, can you think of any other player, not in the NFL, just in general, who has really had such a great pulse of a team that has created storylines, you know, run the table, relax, all these different things that it's on him. It's not on the Packers. I mean, it's on him to come through, and he's done it every time. It's remarkable. I can't think of anybody else that's had slogans like that and really performed the way he has on them.
Yeah, it's really too bad in the sense that if the Packers had literally run the table all the way through the postseason, what Rodgers said there would have ranked up there with Joe Namath in Super Bowl III,
totally.
I think. Yeah. But with that, Wes, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford. You can find the team account at Packers. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.